Welcome to You Influence Podcast, where you will hear everything you need to learn how to be a man or woman of influence for the better in your personal and professional life, in business, at work, and in your social life. Becoming a person of positive influence has an invaluable effect in ways we cannot imagine, but can only be felt in personal fulfillment. Welcome back, influencers, to another episode of You Influence Podcast. This is your host, Rafael Mavi. Today, I have a very, very interesting, adventurous guest with us who is full of influence in ways that I personally wouldn't even think of how to influence the world and the marketplace, especially when it comes to the travel niche. And her name is Jeanette Seha. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you got it right.
All right, good. Jeanette and I, we actually connected about maybe a year or two ago through a mutual contact who is in the travel industry. It's a company that I used to be associated with between, let's say, 2005 and 2010. And I understand you're not with that company, but we have that mutual connection. And when I saw your content, I'm like, holy smokes. I'm like, how do you do that? Right? You're like, you are a travelpreneur, travel journalist, definitely a travel advisor. I've seen some content where you're actually participating on a big scale. And you're also an award-winning travel TV host, yes. Right?
Yes.
So that is very interesting because like you see people that are hosting their own travel channels. Right, the food and on the food networks and the travel channel, and it's like, how do you become a travelpreneur and make money through it? So I definitely want to talk about that, but I also want to let you know that the concept of the idea behind this podcast, the reason why I started it, and by the way, it took me about a year and a half, to start it. Why? Because I've been listening to the wrong advice. And I'm not going to mention the person's name, but I know you follow him on Instagram. Very, very popular guy. Mm-hmm. Two books. Got him right behind me. Author of two books. And he's one of those people that said, like, don't start a podcast because It takes, like, a high level of commitment. And to me, it's like it was like a $500,000 project to launching your own TV channel. And the way I looked at it, I'm like, okay, so I'm running a business. I have all this experience, two companies, over 200 employees under my belt. And I'm like, I got a lot of content. And I'm like, why shouldn't I start the podcast? And the name of my company is called Unplugged Influence, which stands for Leadership Through Transparency. That's what Unplugged stands for, transparency. So as I was thinking about the name for the podcast, so I took the U out of Unplugged. And I started writing down topics for the podcast, right? And I started putting names of guests on the list. I'm like, you know what? This is going to develop into an all-out influence, not just unplugged influence for companies. This is going to be applicable to anyone. So I made it basically you instead of you from unplugged, but you stands for Y-O-U, as in you influence people. Events, circumstances, right? But that is a result of the influence you've experienced as a child, you know, through upbringing. Like, who did you listen to? What shaped you who you are today? You know, was it parents? Was it classmates? Was it friends? Was it bosses? Was it colleagues? Experiences, places you lived in, things like that, right? And I'm personally very curious, what influenced you to get into what you do today?
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you so much for letting me be on your podcast. I'm grateful and I'm honored that our paths crossed, and for everything that you're doing and you're following your instinct, your gut, your dream. And I'm so proud of you because I've been told a lot of things throughout my life too that could not be done, or you're a woman, how are you going to do it? Or, you know, even from my family, when I decided to pursue full time this passion. It's not even a passion. It's the purpose. And called crazy. It's this, that. But like, if your heart is in whatever you're doing and your why is bigger than yourself, you're going to do it. And that's what, you know, I think you're a visionary. And most visionaries see before it's done, before it's even done. And they see, you know, long-term and a goal. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
So I've been there, and I've, you know, I can totally empathize with you. So, how far do we want to go? I truly always felt like I am a global citizen. My background is my parents came to the U.S. in the 80s from Mexico. At that time, the immigration wave was really low. You know, Mexico's economy was still okay. But they just wanted, you know, my grandparents came here, and then they wanted to pursue, you know, another life for their future and for us. And we were born here, my siblings and I. I was exposed to the travel industry. My earliest memory is 6 years old, six or seven, just religiously watching. Whenever I discovered the Travel Channel, the History Channel, the Discovery Channel, National Geographic, I was glued to the TV and also books. I've always been an avid reader, even to this day. I'm just like a sponge where I want to know as much as I can. And so I remember, you know, when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I'd watched Samantha Brown on the Travel Channel, and she's still doing a travel show to this day, with kids and married, and I think she's in her 40s or 50s. So she's just super amazing. I watched her, and I would tell my mom, I would say, "Mom, I'm going to be her one day. I'm going to show people the world." And she's like, "Oh, that's so cute," you know, because I'm little. She's like, "Oh, cute. You're so adorable." I'm like, "No, I'm not adorable. I'm going to do this." And I would read the newspaper at dinner to my family. I'm just a natural born communicator. Like, I wanted to share information with the hope that it would help in some way.
And this started when you were little.
Tiny. Like, I literally remember, like, being that little, glued to the TV and just telling everyone, like, "This is what I'm going to do."
I'm sorry. Let me interrupt you for a second before we continue. Your mic is rubbing off your hair.
Oh, okay.
The other side.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. There you go. Got it.
Thank you.
Can you hear me better?
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. No worries. Yeah. So I've known since I was about six or seven, and I would watch Bourdain, Anthony Bourdain too. And he's just been super, all the people on the Travel Channel have been super inspirational for me. And I think that's when I knew that's what I was going to do. I knew that since I was a little girl. But the journey to where I am today in my 30s, it took me a long time to get to finally start doing what I really, it's not, you know, it's a purpose. That's what I call it. It's not like a passion project or a hobby. It's not, I don't want to travel just to escape life or vacation. You know, I'm not the kind of person, I can sit on a beach for one day and then I'm like, okay, I need to get out. I need to talk to people. I need to explore. I need to share their stories. I'm just a natural born curious person. And that's why as a journalist, it fit me perfectly, because no day was ever the same. You have to share people's stories, inform people. It's just the travel industry is seen differently as news, sports, entertainment reporting. Travel reporting is seen as very differently. And I don't know why, because it's still an industry, and you know, there's people that only cover travel.
It's seen as a luxury, not as a day-to-day operation, not as a day-to-day necessity.
Right.
I wouldn't call TV or news, I don't watch the news, but for most people, it is a necessity. It's a daily routine.
Right. And I believe that travel is a mindset, just like wealth is a mindset, just like, you know, health, everything is a mindset. Travel is a mindset. So I believe when you walk out your front door, you're a traveler. We are all travelers. So for me, when I say travel, a lot of the times people think I'm talking about far, exotic, expensive places. But I always, you know, try to tell people you can travel for minimum or for, you know, the same cost as a a weekend in LA having brunch at Ubers, you know, where people spend hundreds of dollars in one day. And I'm like, did you know that you could fly to Puerto Rico round trip or in a hotel with everything you just spent, you know? And people are like, what? No, no. Like, it's a mindset, you know, travel is a mindset. So that's also part of my job. And when I speak at conferences, I'm on panels, I speak from my experience that travel is a mindset. And I think it's really important for everyone to travel.
So you mentioned you were a journalist before. That was Fox Sports.
Well, I'm still a journalist. Still a journalist. I will always be a journalist. I'm still a journalist. I wrote my first travel journal when I was 12. So I've been writing about travel for 19 years. So that tells you how old I am. So writing and travel and journalism has always been inside me. And that's when I pursued a degree in journalism. And I didn't even know what a travel journalist was, but I went to the dean's of journalism. I said, I want to report about travel. What do I need to do? And ironically, he was the travel editor at the state newspaper. So he became my mentor. And so he helped guide me about writing about travel and really finding that niche that social media did not exist back then. Like none of that, you know, none of that existed. So when I share my story with a lot of people, you know, people that just see me like, in today, like 2019, it appears that I just like, just travel, have fun and like, la, la, la. But people don't understand my journey has been almost 19 years. Since I was six that I've known this is what I wanted to do. And, you know, when I'm called an influencer, that word is kind of saturated today. And especially in the travel industry, I mean, you've probably heard, you know, reports and stories about influencers who are, you know, just having these complications with hotels because they're like, if you give me a free night, then I will post. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way. Like there has to be a sense of no entitlement. You know, what I learned in the travel industry was show people what you can do, don't tell them. And even to this day, like I don't have a sense of, I don't think I'm better than anyone, but I will work my butt off. And it's been like a long journey, but that's why people, when they meet me, they hear me, they see me, they're like, oh, this girl is all in and she is serious. And my heart is in it. So
let me ask you this. How do you, I mean, are you monetizing your purpose? You don't call it passion. It's not a passion project. It's a purpose, which is, I mean, I can leave that for a whole different conversation.
Sure.
Because most people are not in your position. They don't even know what their purpose is. They're trying to find it. I don't believe in finding your purpose. I believe in developing your purpose. And oftentimes it's developed or quote unquote found well into people's 40s and 50s, sometimes even 60s. Because you don't know what you don't know. So how can you go in a certain direction when you don't know what the outcome should be? Now, you were fortunate enough. I don't want to call it lucky because I don't believe in luck.
Yeah,
everything happens for a reason. So you were fortunate enough to discover your passion, your purpose at the age of six. It was an interest, right? I have two daughters, 12 and 7. And what they're interested in or passionate about right now, I don't know if that's what they will pursue at the age of 20. Maybe it's just a thing. It's a phase, right? With you, it's clear that it was ingrained in you from the early age. Now, you obviously seems like you followed a traditional route, right? You went to college. You specialized in journalism. And then eventually, you said now you're in your 30s, you started doing more on travel. You started focusing on that purpose. Again, not a passion project.
Right.
And are you monetizing it?
Yes. And I will get back to that. Just want to go back to what you first said, though, about your purpose. I think it's just an individual experience, not like people can find their purpose at any time from a little girl to retirement. I think you're right. It's an ever-growing process. But for me, I've known, and I'm really grateful for that. But the difference between me is I didn't believe in myself until much later in life to fully pursue it.
Why?
Because I,
Why do you think that is?
Because after I graduated college from Belmont in Nashville, I moved back to Los Angeles, and I became a small fish in a big pond here in Los Angeles. And you know, recent graduate, was looking for work ideally in the travel industry, which could be anything from a travel magazine. But you know, most magazines are 80% freelance written by writers. You know, there's only a small part, full-time staff, and those are the very top, and they work their way up or pay their dues. So I said, okay, where can I start? So that's how I ended up. I landed a job at Fox Sports part-time. I started to go to UCLA night classes for producing. I did their professional producing program because I said, you know, I love education. I think it's amazing. So I wanted to continue, and I wanted to be a producer and a host for a future travel show. So I wanted to understand the side of producing as well. So that's when I dabbled into sports, because it was a safe, secure income. Like, I knew it was going to come every week. I got benefits. And that's when I did it for about 3 years, and I was so grateful for the experience. And I like sports to this day, but it's not my purpose, like travel. And I realized that when, you know, my bosses would only give me 2 weeks a year to travel, and I understand that's pretty standard in the United States. And I said, uh-oh, this isn't going to work for me, because if I have to go to a travel conference in, like, let's say New York, I'm going to take a whole week. And then there's, like, I was trying to work my dream around my, you know, 9-to-5, and I tried to do that for 3 years, and I was moving at the pace of a snail. And I did that and then I did entertainment reporting here in Los Angeles, again, because it was a safe route. It was, you know, here in LA, it's like Hollywood. It's land of entertainment, you know, movie premieres. Again, I was grateful for that, but I kept suppressing my dream. And I realized that nobody was going to give me like $1 million and say, go do your travel show, and go travel the world. So I started to just go to all the travel conferences I could during that time. I also lived abroad for 2 years. So I lived in Italy and Australia. I did contract work out there. And then I came back, and I was like, okay, I think I'm really going to go for it. And what did that mean? I don't know. Like, I didn't know what that meant. I just knew what I was doing prior was not working, meaning doing the 9-to-5 and doing the weekends and evenings towards travel industry. It wasn't enough. And I understood that, you know, I could have this quote comfort life of 9-to-5, this and that, and you know, but I wasn't living. I was just existing. And every year, like, I felt like my soul was dying because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. Everyone around me was happy. My friends, my family. Oh, you have the perfect life. You work in here, and you have your car, and you live in LA. But deep down inside, I was miserable. And I realized it didn't matter the money they paid me. I was not happy. I was just not happy. And that's also when I realized that money is important, but it's not what money doesn't bring you happiness. At least to me, it didn't. What I realized was, following my purpose and doing what I love first, and realizing how I could do that, and then the money and all that after, because I was doing it the other way. I was going with the money, I was going with stability, I was going with that, and I was just miserable. Like, I was just not, I was grateful for work and money, but I was just not doing what I was meant to do. So going back to your second question, this happened about 3 years ago when I made the conscious decision that I was going to have to do something different. I was going to have to take a risk. And so I kind of just, you know, jumped without a parachute and had some savings and said, okay, I'm going to give this a go. And I left every like full-time job that I had. And my family was like, are you crazy? Like, this is so, like, don't do it. You're crazy. And in my situation, it's a little different because I'm single. I don't have kids. So, you know, that's my I understand that maybe other people have kids and other commitments, but in my situation, I was like, if not now, then when? When I'm, you know, 50, 60, 70, sure, like maybe I don't even have the energy to do it or, you know, the physical ability to travel. I mean, who knows? But I was like, you know, I'm going to go for it. And I, that's what I did about almost 3 years ago. And the first year was really hard. I bootstrapped everything. I paid for my conferences, my travel conferences. I still continued to write, you know, as a freelance writer. I just the first year, it was just about starting from ground zero and meeting people at every travel conference that I could go to and, you know, passing business cards and basically planting the seeds.
But what did you, what, okay, you said you passed, passed business cards.
Yeah.
What was on a business card? What were you selling? What were you offering?
So as a journalist, you can work as freelance, right? And as a writer, you can write. So I understood, I had that background in media. So I said, hey, if you ever need a writer or anything, let's say for travel, please let me know, because that's my expertise. And, you know, for me, honestly, going to all these travel conferences, hearing Samantha Brown, Rick Steves, all the greats, and trying to understand their journey, how they got to where they were. And like I said, I was like a small fish in a big pond and I was learning my way, and it was very uncomfortable because I was like, every month I was like, crap, I don't know how I'm going to make this, you know, happen. Like, I don't know how I'm going to make this work. But in another way, it was exciting because for me, it's like a challenge. And it also was like, okay, well, how bad do you want this? Because if you really want it, you will make it happen. And that's the difference is, you know, I didn't become complacent in a job that I wasn't happy with. If I'm just not the type of person to be in a corner in any kind of cubicle under fluorescent lighting for 40 hours a week looking at a computer screen. No, that's my personality. As you can tell, I'm people oriented. I need to be around people. I love people. And part of being a reporter or journalist for many years is you get to go out, interview people, write about it, do and come back and then share it. And that's what I love to do. I love to share people's stories. I love to inform them, and information and knowledge is power, right? So I love to help inform people and keep them empowered. So yeah, so like I said, my journey has been just like the squiggly line. It's not been a straight arrow, and I've had failures. I went on auditions for TV shows, like a travel show, to be their host, and I got rejected. Like, they're like, oh, thank you, like, not, you know, and that's fine. Like, I understood, like, you have to, like, keep going. I've had people tell me, like, oh, but you're a woman, like, how are you gonna travel? And like, what are you gonna do if you want a family? Like, what guy is gonna date a woman that travels like you? And aren't you afraid for your safety? And but you're a woman. And oh, but I've heard it like for years, but I'm telling you, like, I'm telling your audience, like, you have to believe in yourself, because I think that's the only thing that's kept me going, was believing in myself, seeing a vision, and my why is much bigger than myself. Because if it wasn't, all those struggles and failures and rejections and naysayers would have propelled me back into the safety of a 9-to-5.
So you know, what do you think, by the way, your mic.
Oh, sorry.
What do you think contributed towards your belief in yourself? Was it the upbringing? It is not easy to believe in yourself when you have a shitty background as a child.
Yes, and I totally understand that. But I think that once we become adults in, you know, in society, and it becomes our responsibility as individuals, how we choose to live our lives. I mean, I did it for many years. I, you know, my parents divorced when I was young, and, you know, I had to live with my mom and this and that. And I had a lot of like anger, you know, for that, and resentment towards my father, because I was really sad. But you know, that was the story then. I think with my belief in yourself, it does take work. It takes work for sure. Like where I am today in my 30s is not where I ever have been, but it's taken me awareness about myself and understanding that I'm 100% responsible for my life. And if I'm not happy, then it's my responsibility. Like it's no longer my parents, the government, my neighbors, my exes, it's not their responsibility. It's my responsibility to make myself happy. And if I'm not happy in a job, if I'm not happy in a relationship, if I'm not happy, then what am I going to do about it? Because I can't keep blaming and projecting on other people. And I think that was a really big, big factor in me like taking control of my life.
Yeah, that's golden. And you said something brilliant. It took you awareness. And I believe that majority of people lack awareness. They audit their books, they audit their bank accounts, they audit everything, but they don't audit themselves.
Yes.
And they look at the past and they let it become their anchor. And I love, I've heard Tony Robbins say that many years ago, he said, the past is not equal to future. So what's in the past is in the past, but unfortunately most people hold the past as their anchor to weigh them down. Hence, it spills over into lack of self-belief.
Yes. And I, like I said, I've done it for many years and I also played the victim role in so many things. Like, oh, life is happening to me. Why can't this just happen? Why wasn't this easier? Why can't I, like, you know, I played that role without knowing for a long time. And then when I realized it was like, wait a second, victim no more. Like, I'm going to take power and take control of my life because I truly believe we're co-creators in our own lives, and the power of our thoughts, the power of our beliefs, the power of our visions. Like, as you can see, well, my whole apartment is basically a vision board where I have goals, I have affirmations. I'm a huge visionary, and I've always been since I was a little girl. And I always keep like images of, actually I have like Tony Robbins, I have Oprah. I have many people who've inspired me along the journey. But one thing that I do and I've started to do for about 2 years is I do daily affirmations. And one of them that I say is, I am enough, I am complete, I am whole, I am worthy. And those have been like life changing for me. And I also meditate, and I, like I said, I do vision boards, and I'm huge on self-love because I think that that's self-love. It just bleeds into everything, and like
you know, the first time, obviously, I have grown over the last 16 years through personal development. But the first time I heard somebody, and that somebody, by the way, ended up becoming my mentor. When he said, he talked about affirmations, I'm thinking to myself, that's step one. Step two is a psychiatric word. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, why would you say all those things? I'm like, don't you know it already? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, why you got to say it out loud? And like, through the years, I've realized that words create, but words also kill. So what you say becomes power. Yes. There's energy in words, and it's not just mumbo jumbo conversation. I mean, we have science backing the energy of voice and what the words, what they mean. When you're speaking into a flower in a jar, when you're speaking into a rice in a jar, in a container, like all of this is laboratory proven, right? It's not like, to me, it used to be mumbo jumbo. It used to be like, oh my God, like this is a bunch of like kumbaya stuff. You know, it's like, well, step one, affirmation. Step two, psych word.
But yeah.
I prove myself otherwise. And it's because of the right mentorship that I had and the information that I was exposed to. It just takes commitment. It takes daily discipline, which I personally have struggled with and continue to struggle with in other areas now. Like in those areas, good. In new areas, again, it's always a work in progress.
And I listen, we are all works in progress, like for sure. But one of the thing is like you're aware and you know. So a lot of people don't know what they don't know. And even me, before I started to do self-development, I just I would think all these things, and let's say I got rejected or I got, you know, I would take it personally. Oh, I'm this, I'm too much, I'm not enough, I'm this. I would take it personally, but now I take it as, okay, it just wasn't meant to be. And the same thing going back to what you said, I don't believe in luck either. When people say, oh, you're so lucky, it kind of, you know, takes me back, because I really believe, like, I forget if Oprah said it or someone said that luck is just when hard work meets opportunity. I believe it's alignment, when you're aligned, right? So that's what I like to say is like, no, I'm not lucky, because, you know, I worked really, really hard to get to where I'm at. I'm at the right place at the right time, and this is the opportunity. And so yeah, I like to share my story with people and how it's very different, you know. But, you know, one of the things that I'm working on right now is a bilingual travel show, which has been my dream since I was 6 years old. I have two producers that I'm working with that we're going to pitch it to networks, hopefully within the next month or two. And, you know, it's going to be from a woman's perspective, but it's going to be inclusive for everybody. I just really feel, you know, being in the industry and writing about travel and watching it, you know, religiously, that there's not enough representation as far as women or minorities in the industry speaking to more of the population. And I'm grateful that I am bilingual, hablo español, so I can speak to, you know, a wider audience and hopefully ignite and inspire them to travel. So that's one of the big things that I'm working on right now.
So are you doing anything online? Do you have a YouTube channel? Do you have a distribution of through video?
You know, a lot of people ask me that. No, I don't have a YouTube.
Why not?
I know. This is something that I have to really do. I don't know, honestly.
I mean, you got 11,000 followers on Instagram, and your account is pretty engaged. You're very diverse with your content.
Yes.
Why not do videos? I mean, initially when you said you started journaling about travel, first it was like at the age of 12, pen and paper, because it was pre-social, pre-digital.
And disposable cameras.
But then when you have your MySpaces, and which was replaced by Facebook and all the other stuff, mm-hmm. like, why not start journaling your experiences through video? Because you have it. You're living through it.
You're right. It's something that I've definitely considered. I think I felt a little overwhelmed because I had so many things going on. And then it's been on my mind. So I definitely feel like that will be something in the future. I just got back into town literally. and I don't know, just taking it day by day.
Gotcha.
You know,
so let me ask you this, just to go back to my previous
yes.
question.
Yes.
So I want to be clear so people understand this. You travel, you document, and you report back on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's but one way, aspect, yes.
Okay, but the way you monetize it is actually becoming a writer on the topic.
Yes, yeah, so for example, that's one way that I monetize, right? Because I really consider myself now a multifaceted entrepreneur. So I believe under the travel umbrella, I do different jobs and different gigs for different clients and different, for example, if I'm doing a conference, let's say as a speaker, I'm doing that for that conference or for that tourism board, then I get paid by them. If I'm writing as a writer, like any writer, whether it's in entertainment, whether it's in sports and travel, they get paid per assignment or per publication. And that's based on every publication's guidelines, on every publication's pay rate, you know, experience, etc. And also something that I added as a travel advisor and a travel agent was also booking people's travel. And that's something I started to do this year, actually.
So you're a licensed, bonded travel agent as well?
Yeah. So I've been training this year. So I've literally just started under
that's
Travel
awesome.
Edge.
So yeah. I like how you're, I mean, people talk about multiple streams of income. So you've developed multiple streams of income under one niche. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
So recently you've been to Guatemala?
Yes, I was in Guatemala.
And Greece?
And Greece, yes. So I've been to almost 60 countries already.
And you take these for recreational purposes, like for yourself, or this is part of your work, you document it, and then you basically write on it?
I like to take a couple trips on my own or with my family. But if it's for example, I haven't done any sponsored posts on social media where I do it, you know, and I get paid for. I actually have not, full disclosure, I have not made any money on social media. So for me,
that's very impressive. Like, that's hard to believe. With your type of stuff, I'm surprised.
It's true. You will not see any sponsored like ads or like anything. Everything that I put on my social media is 100% me, and I actually make conscious decisions on every post. But that being said, I have been offered companies, brands, you know, hey, we'll pay you this much if you post this. And for me, and this is why some people call me crazy, I'm like, thank you so much, but I'm gonna pass, because it's like a lighting company, or it's a company that, or a brand that has absolutely nothing to do with travel. And I'm like, this is not who I am.
What about hotel brands? What about cruise brands? What about all these destination names having like their sponsored post?
Well, I haven't done it to yet, but I'd be open to it if it was aligned, let's say, to like if it was a hotel brand or like a cruise line or something that was aligned to me and something that I felt compassionate
you're sticking to your guns. I respect that.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is like, I'm not looking for short-term instant gratification. I'm in this for the long term, and I'd be open to doing sponsored posts. I'd be open to it, but it just hasn't happened because I haven't felt it's been the right opportunity or the right brand or company. I know many people who are in travel and doing sponsored posts and making lots of money, and bloggers and all that. I'm really happy for them, but that's not my thing. I'm more into, I don't know, not that.
So I got a question for you on the current event, since you're in travel. A year and a half ago, whenever that whole craze was happening about Mexico tourism, you know, like, don't go to Mexico with the whole, you know, I mean, I don't want to get into politics. I have my own opinion on politics on for both sides. I'm not just right or left. I'm into common sense.
Yeah.
You know, but like when Trump came to White House, there was a lot of stuff going on with the border. And in my opinion, this is not proven, in my opinion, it was, like, as a result of that, there was a lot of bad publicity for Mexico tourism.
Yes.
You know, but we went anyway. So, like, listen, I'm educated enough to say whenever a country needs dirt, they're going to take it to the media, because that is the best way to destroy either a nation or a group or whatever. Whatever serves the purpose, right? Doesn't mean that it's true. So that was with Mexico. Right now, a couple of months ago, this whole thing started happening with Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm like, you know what? This is like 2017 all over again. But then, as soon as I said that, almost every week over the last 6 weeks, there's a new report of a new death, American death in Dominican Republic. I'm like, this is a little weird, because I'm like, it doesn't sound like the whole Mexico situation a year and a half ago. This, I think it's something weird going on over there. Mm-hmm. And then with the whole shooting thing with, what is it, baseball player?
Where was that?
In Dominican Republic too.
Oh, wow.
And then the locals claimed, like, oh, we thought he was somebody else. I'm like, this is a very famous face. Like, you do not mistake him for somebody else. So what's your take as a travel journalist on this whole Dominican situation?
You know, and I also feel I have opinions about politics. I think politics plays a major role in travel, in the travel industry. Everything from visas to travel bans to political upheavals based on our government, based on others' government. You know, we are on some do not travel lists sometimes based on politics, for example, or vice versa, or based on what's happening in our country. For example, if there's lots of shootings that's reported internationally, a lot of people don't come because they think that's that's what the U.S. is. We're all just shooting each other, and that's not the reality, right? It's a funny story because I'll go back to Dominican Republic, but here's how perception can be so different from reality. I was on a small island in Fiji, in the Yasawa Islands. I could walk the whole island in 5 minutes. Probably about 10 people staff in a tiny resort. This is about 6 or 7 years ago. They had a tiny TV, tiny, tiny TV. And so they sat around one time for like dinner, like, oh, where are you guys from? I said, oh, I'm from the USA. Like, oh, I'll never forget what this Fijian woman said. She goes, oh, you Americans, all you do is shoot each other. I never go to America. And I was like, oh my gosh, no, like that's not, yes, it happens. But no, it's predominantly safe. You can walk outside, you can go to Disneyland, you can do all this, go to the beach and you will be fine. Do you see what I mean? And I just have, about Dominican Republic, about Mexico, you know, I've not been to the Dominican Republic actually to date. But I would still go. For me, especially as a journalist, you have to go and experience it for yourself. And then you just report on what you find and what you see. And you share the stories and you let people have an opinion, right? Based on the facts, based on information, and then let people base their own opinions. And if they don't want to go, they don't have to go. If they do, it's kind of like, you know, you would never read a movie review from someone who didn't watch the movie, right? They had no credibility. So you watch the movie yourself.
Yeah, but we're talking about bodies coming back from there. Yeah. We're talking about people going there, like couples, you know, from like all these places, and they're not coming back.
No, and I think I've been hearing the news about Dominican Republic. I think if a traveler, based on that, chooses not to, I respect that. I say, okay, that's perfectly fine. There's 195 other countries that you could go visit or within the US. And maybe until that situation, what's going on, gets more, you know, discovered and they find out what's happening and who's responsible, then I think if people, travelers like you or I, choose not to go, then I respect that, you know, it's an individual case. But if someone knows all this and decides to still go, then I think they are responsible for what, like if they go, then they're making that conscious decision to go knowing this information. The US also puts travel, you know, they post like safety warnings, right, for travelers and, you know, TS, like you can see that online at any time based on a country.
Do you have your own blog where you put out content like travel advisory, or, you know, this country has this to offer? Like you went to Guatemala, you write the reviews, like what to do, places to visit. Like 2 years ago, we went to Spain and I didn't. My wife has read up on it. I think there was a book written by a guy who's been all over Europe. He knows places like, you know, a hole in the wall, but it's a gem, right?
Yes.
And they write all this stuff out, and it's great publicity. Do you have that kind of stuff, even digitally, where you actually write about your experiences?
You know, I have my stories that are written in different publications, for example, or I do a lot of interviews as well. And I've done broadcasts, so you can find me in different platforms. As far as media, as far as a blog, I do have a few entries in my website, but I feel like being it's a jetsetwithjeanette.com, and that's with two N's, everybody.
jetsetwithjeanette.com.
I feel like blogging can be so amazing, but I feel like and everything I do is quality. So unless I can fully commit to do it and do a good job and like be consistent, then I kind of like leave it right now for the back burner, because what I'm doing always involves me being out in the public, right? Being with people. I also do workshops, something I forgot to mention. I do workshops for women, like female solo travelers, or I do workshops on vision boards. As you can tell, I'm huge on vision boards. And I do them on travel. So I specifically do vision boards with people for travel, because travel is mindset. And people, when I talk about travel, they say, oh, I love to travel, but I don't have time and I don't have money. And then the people who do have time and money have no idea where to even go or start. And I say, okay, well, make a list of places that you want to visit, or let's make a vision board of images of, like, let's say you want to go to Bora Bora or Maldives, or, you know, I literally have a friend who did a vision board with me at one of my workshops, and he put Rwanda and he put the gorillas, and he put everything in January. He went there 2 weeks ago and he literally was there with, like, the gorillas and everything. I've had so many people who have done vision boards with me that have manifested, like, even me, when I put India.
We're not talking about just, like, law of attraction, right? You got to actually get off your ass, you know, and actually go and do things for that vision.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. But I think it all starts with a vision, right? And it starts with the vision and a belief that you can. Sometimes you don't know how. It's not just putting an image on and say, okay, so, you know, come to me and this and that, and I don't have to do anything and that. No, no, no. But, you know, that's the starting point. Is a lot of people are focused on what they don't want, or they're too worried how it can happen. And so they just don't even put it out there. Like, oh yeah, I'd love to go to Hawaii, but I can't because la, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they self-sabotage, and then they just, you know, go on and go on. And it's like, wait, what? Like, you know, just.
So, you know what I want to do? I actually need to, because you're in LA.
Yes. So
I need to introduce you to someone that I interviewed on this podcast. Her name is Giovanna Healy.
Oh, okay.
She's on episode 28, I believe.
Okay.
So she's in LA as well. She runs events for women, but now it's for both parents. Before it was like women, single moms, but now it's single parents. And they do workshops around that, right? Financial literacy, parenting, personal development, and I think it's called Sisters of Strength. I'll make the introduction.
Thank you so much. You guys will have a lot
in common. So one thing, I mean, listen, I'm going to put you on a spot here, because you just said I'm putting, like, that on a back burner. I'm talking about the blog and all that stuff, right? Reporting.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what happened when you put your travel on a back burner when you were in your 20s?
Nice. Yes, that's very true. Do you know what it is with me, though, right now? Is I feel like I'm doing so much in different... because no day is the same for me. Like, let's say one day I'm like, if I'm home, or if I'm traveling, or if I'm in a conference, or if I'm, you know. But I think you're right. I could start writing more and doing more on blog. For me, I really, what I'm also been dedicating a lot of my energy to is this travel show, getting that off the ground. And it's really been picking up a lot of momentum, and I have a lot of exciting meetings coming up to pitch to. So that's kind of been my main focus right now. And like I said, I kind of realize where I'm at in my personal life, as far as, like, I'm single, I don't have kids. I realize that I really want to try to do that now. And while my health is still good, like, listen, both of my parents were in the hospital 2 weeks ago, and I had to go out of town to be there because they live in Nashville. And I just realized how precious life is, right? And how to do it now. Like, a lot of people, like, if you know, if you have a dream, you know, I forget who said that. If it was Tony Robbins or someone who said, a lot of people, you know, the graveyard is, like, the most talented place because so many people die with their dreams. We never know what could have been, what, you know, because so many people hold it off until, I'll do it when I have, or when I'm here, or what. But I mean, who knows, right? One of my mentors who put me on my first red carpet about 6 or 7 years ago, he passed away in March suddenly in his sleep. He had the flu, he had sleep coma, and he had, like, this heart issue. And so just together was, like, a horrible, like, combination. And he passed away in March, and he was, like, such an important person for me. So, you know, it's been a really difficult, my personal life, but it's also showed me how precious time is, and, like, just go for it. You know, the worst that's going to happen is I fail. Someone says no, I get rejected, whatever. I pick myself up. I learn, I grow, and I keep going. you know, and like yesterday was Bourdain's birthday. So a lot of people were honoring him and calling it Anthony Bourdain Day. And, you know, like I said, he's been really inspirational in my life. Even to this day, it's really hard for me to watch his last episodes because I still am very sad how he left and, you know, how he's gone. And I feel like he left a large void in the industry. And, you know, but that being said, that opportunity that people see that I got to meet him and interview him, what a lot of people don't know is that I created that opportunity because I found out many years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, he was going to do the red carpet at Tribeca Film Festival in New York. And because I got a press release, because I get a lot of emails from PR publicists, and I was like, oh my gosh, he was the executive producer of a movie on CNN for a famous chef called Jeremiah Latorre, and he had to do the red carpet. And if you knew Anthony Bourdain or any, if you followed him, he wasn't really big on press and publicity. He was just who he was, straight shooter.
Yep.
And I said, you know, light bulb went off in my head. I said, I have to meet him. This is my chance. And so what I did was I started to pitch to different publications, and I said, hey, Bourdain will be here. I'll do a story for you. I'll interview him and it'll be great, right? That's what I thought. I was like, oh, it'll be so easy, you know, in the bag. No, I got 9 different no's from people that were like, thanks, we're going to pass. No, thank you. No, thank you. And I was like, wait, do you guys understand? Like, I don't think you understand. So what I did was I said, okay, fine. I'll buy my own plane ticket to New York, being here in LA. I'll buy my own ticket to see the movie because it's a premiere in Tribeca. I'll stay for the Q&A and I'll just ask him the questions and I'll just say hello and I'll meet him and then whatever. Like, I was that determined, right? And I knew that this was a once in a life opportunity. And if other people weren't going to see it, then I mean, and so when I said that, isn't that funny how it works, you know, this way? When I said that, and I was literally looking at plane tickets just to fly myself to New York, I got a yes from a publication here. And so with that, yes, they got me my press credentials. They got it all taken care of. And it was like, awesome. I was going to go either way. And seriously, that is one of the best things that I personally have ever done. And I know so many people who could have done it and just didn't. And now they're like, you know, a lot of people regret the things they don't do, not the things they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
you created your reality. You put that out into the universe, and you created it. And you were after it. It's not like you were sitting back. You were after it.
Yeah, and I got a lot of no's. And I'm telling you, along the way, I've been told no, and I've been, you know, I failed many times. But the difference in me now and then was like, I was like, I'm going to do this. I don't know how, but I'm going to do this. I was determined, and I'm still determined. Just like I am in this travel show, because this travel show is not about me, right? It's I'm part of it because I'm so passionate and I feel we need more.
That's what I was going to ask you. Sorry to interrupt. The word influence, right, which is the podcast.
Yeah. Like
what in your mind, what does influence mean to you? Now, you just started going into it. Like, it's not about you. So what does influence mean to you? What is the purpose of you doing what you're doing?
Purpose for me doing what I'm doing is through my work, through my interviews, through my speeches, anything I do, that I ignite the people to travel. For me, when you travel, when person A travels, it literally gives me as much excitement as if I was going to travel, because I know you're going to come back different. Like, you're going to be more open, more worldly. You're going to have your own opinion about a country or a culture. And it's not just going to be what the news says. I think influence is igniting that in people. And we can't change anyone, can't fix anyone, can't heal anyone. But by you doing what you love and sharing that, I really feel it has an effect on others. Like, the call to action for me is for with a travel show, anything I do is just travel. Like, go to the next city, go to another state, you know, but go.
Essentially, you're driven by other people's experiences.
Yes, because I feel fundamentally that travel helps break stereotypes, It helps reduce bigotry.
I agree.
It helps reduce like all these fear-based beliefs about cultures and countries. Like, you know, just that's like what I say, just travel and have your own experience and hopefully you'll come back and you can share with others, but just don't base it on one, like just the news, because I can turn on the local LA news right now and I promise you there's like a murder, kidnap, rape, like there's
everywhere, of course.
Everywhere. Danger is everywhere. But be mindful, of course, and research the country and understand the current situation, of course, you know, and look at the travel advisories for each country, because all that information is available to you 24/7.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Jeanette, where can people find you?
So people, you can find me at my social media. It's all at Jet Set with Jeanette.
Jeanette is spelled J-E-A-N-N-E-T-T-E.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And at Twitter, it's my first and last name, Jeanette Seha.
Seha is C-E-J-A.
Yes.
Okay. So Twitter, hold on. Twitter is Jeanette Seha.
Yes.
C-E-J-A. Instagram is Jet Set with Jeanette.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And also my website is www.jetsetwithjeanette.com. I'm in the process of hiring an assistant soon because it's becoming, as you can tell, it's growing, and I'm grateful that it's growing more. And like I said, I just want to be a platform and a resource for others as media, as a travel expert, for people to travel. And you know, look out for the show later this year, hopefully. And I'm going to do more speaking engagements, more workshops. I'm looking to do my first retreat with a tourism board
awesome.
In the future.
Video blogging.
Video blogging. you know, and I love doing this. I love engaging and being of service. And not everything I do, like I speak at colleges as well. And I also, you know, work with nonprofits as their ambassador. I do a lot of pro bono work for causes that I'm really passionate about. And one of the things that I'd love to do in my future is create a scholarship at my alma mater, Belmont University. I would love to create a travel scholarship, like, for students, because I think education and travel is the best gift that you can give anyone. So if I can give back, that's how I really want to give back, especially to the youth, because I feel like the youth is so amazing and they are full of life and, you know, they're our future. So just want to give back.
That's awesome. Love it. Well, when the next time we're going to have you back on the show, I'm expecting all of those things to be in play.
Yes.
And the stuff that you've had on a back burner to be activated.
Yes, yes, it will be done. And so it is.
Awesome. I love it. Put that on the vision board.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Jeanette, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've learned a ton. I love hearing, and I agree that some of the best education that we receive and break down cultural barriers is through travel. And I don't know who said it, but there's a quote, you know, if you don't travel, it's like a book, life is like a book. If you don't travel, you only read the first chapter, something like that.
Yes, yes. I love that quote. And it's so true. And this world is so big and so beautiful. And, you know, I've only just begun, you know, going to several countries, but, you know, even within your own.
Not several.
Oh, but believe me, in my industry, I'm behind. Like, there's a guy, his name is Lee Abinante. I don't know if you've heard of him. He made the Guinness Book World Records at 32 years old to have traveled every country in the world. But I'm grateful. Like, that was his journey. But yeah, I'm getting there. And I hope to just create positive relations between the U.S. and every country that I go to. And, you know, I would love to be involved with more organizations to help women. I'm very passionate about women, and especially my mother. She was like a single mom, you know, raising three kids, after my parents divorced, entrepreneur. She really inspired me as a woman that I could do a lot as far as like work and just, I want to give back. I just really want to give back. So I have that mindset, like, you know, as much as I am grateful for everything I have, I think it's important to give back. And that's something that I want to do in the future too. So
that's awesome. Love it. Jeanette, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for checking it out. Rate it, review us, leave a comment, go connect with Jeanette Seha on Instagram at Jet Set with Jeanette. On Twitter, it is Jeanette Seha. And your website is jetsetwithjeanette.com. Guys, thanks so much, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast already, please show us your support by subscribing and leaving a positive review to help us advance on the chart. You can always connect with me on social media by searching for Rafael Mavi at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. If you have any questions or just want to drop a line, the fastest way to get a hold of me is through my Instagram. Until next time.